So this morning is a lot of fun for me because my friend Rose here is one of my dearest and most longtime friends. We've been friends for 30 years, but she's only 25. Don't hold it against her. Don't ask me how the math works. So I'm excited for Rose and her son Josh to share their story because they've been through a lot in the last few years. And it's been quite an amazing journey. And I just know pieces from the outside, so it'll be fun to hear a lot more of the story. So if you'll go with me in prayer, we'll get moving. We thank you, Lord, for this time here at Camp Pine Cliff. We thank you for bringing us together. We thank you for the opportunity to share our stories, not just in presentation form, but person to person. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for surrounding us with the beauty of nature. We thank you for the people you've created us to be. And even though things get rough, you keep pushing us to go through it. So, Father, we give this day to you. We give this service to you. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you speak to our spirits and help us get what we need, that we hear your message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For posterity. Great. That's my posterity right there, so I'll take it. So I'm going to just admit from the beginning that this will be a hard one for me. Josh just barely graduated from high school. And the lessons that we've been through over the past 17 years, well, let's say 12, have been pretty tough. So the things that I want to share, Josh and I already talked about, we want to focus on the positive, the things that we've learned as an experience of going through high school. The experiences of being on what I consider the bleeding edge of being a young gay man living in Utah and in high school in a little valley where being who you are is not okay, right? So if Karina, you want to go to the next slide. So today I'm going to do an introduction of Josh and I, and then I'm going to go into the third part, which is mine. And then Josh, being as succinct and Virgo as he is, he has one slide. So I'm going to do a little bit of an introduction of us. So Karina, if you go to the next slide. I grew up in Cache Valley. I grew up LDS. I served a mission. I was married in the temple. I did all of those things. So you'll kind of understand, if you know any of those backgrounds, you're talking to that girl, right? You can make some assumptions. You can know some things about me just based on that history. Karina and I grew up together in Cache Valley back in the day when we are not the women that we are now. But we were those women. We just weren't allowed to be those women. We're told that we could be those women. So I said things growing up to Karina that all LDS people say that are a demonstration of our trueness, right? Our I love you, but I don't support you. I went on a mission and I said those very same things to the people that I absolutely love and adore now. In fact, I said those kinds of things to someone that I didn't know I was going to raise. So when I was in high school, when I graduated from high school, I actually had an experience where I was taking care of my grandfather, and we're going to kind of get into that story. But after college, I graduated and I moved to Austin, Texas, which if you know anything about Austin, it's a very progressive city. It's very open. It's very wonderful. It's its own little bubble. It used to be an art colony, so it has its own little flavor of Texas, right? So I always say that I was born in Utah, but that I grew up in Texas, because all the really hard stuff started to slam into us when we were in Austin on our own. So Josh was born in Austin. He's a native Texan. I'm super proud of that. I love that part of my son, that he's a native Texan. when he was 10, and I thought we actually got that, but we must have missed the... He was actually 10 when we moved up here, but it didn't... I was like, I could have sworn Josh changed that to that he was 10. We moved back up here when Josh was 10. I'm the youngest in a family of six. I'm a daddy's girl. I'm a mama's girl. And when it got to that time of life for my folks and I could see that they were getting older, I didn't want to miss out on that part of their life and be there for them. And we also wanted to be closer to family. So we decided to move back to Utah. When I moved back here, though, in fact, I remember telling Kay and Karina that I was moving up here. And they both said, "You sure Cache Valley is where you should go? You might want Salt Lake. It's not that far to Hiram. It's like an hour and a half. You could do this, you know." And I'm like, no, it's we can do this. We got this. We are moving to Cache Valley. We will do this. So we did. And that's kind of basically where this story is going to start. So today we're going to focus on not giving up, on staying positive, and loving yourself. So if you know me, I speak the language of plants. I speak the language of monarch butterflies. So I'm going to just give you a little bit of a metaphor, because when Josh and I are gone from here, you may not remember us at all. But if you see a butterfly fly by, I hope maybe you'll make this kind of a connection back to this lesson. So, Karina, if you'll hit the next, please. So when I was growing up in Cache Valley, the monarch butterfly was a part of my life growing up. My mom actually taught me how to raise and release monarchs. So the monarch butterfly has just kind of been a metaphor for my life. And every summer, when I think I'm not going to raise monarchs, I end up raising them and releasing them, and they teach me a whole nother lesson about what my life is and what I'm meant to do in my life. And also the experiences that I'm going through currently get taught to me through the monarch. So the monarch butterfly here, there are several lookalikes. So you may think you see it, but you gotta know these polka dots, and it's a larger butterfly. But the monarch butterfly actually goes through four different life forms. It goes through egg, it goes through a caterpillar here. So here's the egg on the bottom of a leaf, tiny, hard to see, but really important. And it turns into a caterpillar. And then it goes into the chrysalis or the pupa phase, which is another life form, before it becomes an adult. So a monarch actually goes through completely four different transformations. And if you look at it, none of them resemble each other. But they are four completely different life forms that will lead ultimately to this beautiful butterfly at the end. Not that all phases aren't beautiful, because they're miraculous in themselves. So Karina, will you hit the next slide? The other thing that's amazing is that the caterpillar itself grows five different times. From the time it becomes a caterpillar, it will grow 1,000 times its size. So here's the first tiny, tiny. When it's actually first out of its chrysalis, it's white with a black head. It's hard to even see it. It's the size of a pinhead. So here's the first instar, second instar. It means molting. So if you've seen like a grasshopper molt, it's the same kind of process. Here's the third. The fourth is up here, and there's the fifth. And each time, one of the things that I love about this phase is that even though it goes through four different life forms, even when it's in its caterpillar phase, it still grows. And the thing that's amazing on this too is that the caterpillar will have to be too big for its skin in order for it to go on to the next instar. It will already be too big for its britches before it becomes the next caterpillar size. So this has been one of my personal life lessons, is that when you are growing and you are going through things, there are times when you will have to leave part of yourself behind. And it will look not like anything you've ever known before, but the size that you are and the thing that you were on the inside beautifully becomes this bright, new, green, growing caterpillar. So even though it may feel like you're losing something, which you are, but you are already something wonderful on the inside before you ever leave what you left behind. And it doesn't mean you can't go back and see that. It doesn't mean that the memories can't be there or that the experience wasn't real, because you clearly will leave things there. But this part where you step forward, because the other part of it is that in order for this caterpillar to become this, the caterpillar must step forward. It has to move out of its skin in order to become this new piece. You can't stay there and just have the skin shed. It actually has to move. It has to make action. Next, Karina. Thank you. So this is the pupa phase. In all of the growing that the monarch goes through, in my world, I often think that it must hurt, or I wonder if it hurts. I don't really know if it hurts, right? It's not like it makes a sound or it says anything to me. But the caterpillar itself will go and it will hang here in what we call a J-hook. I should ask, does anybody know the monarch butterfly before I get into this? Okay, so everybody knows it. Does everybody done this, raised and released monarchs? Okay, so you know what I'm talking about, right? Do you all have personal experiences with this too? Stories behind it where you go, I got this, right? Like I'm telling, okay, perfect. I love this. This is actually a brilliant part of living in Utah, is that so many people have experiences with the monarch. Okay, so this is actually just as it's going to emerge as the pupa. But one of the things that I think is amazing is this split too, right? It just opens. And then it has to do this work, and it has to wriggle in order to make the skin fall off. And then it becomes this gorgeous jade green color, right? But what's amazing is that, yet again, it's still already its new form before it comes out of its old caterpillar. It's already the pupa. It's already that. And then it becomes, right? It sheds its skin. It just, And then when it actually sheds its skin, it's hard probably to see from your angle, but if you can see in here, these are the wings. This is its tongue. There's its antennas. They're already there. They exist already. And then it loses its skin and it just has to wait while it all forms and hardens inside. Okay, next one, please. And then the final form is the butterfly, which to me is this amazing piece of life, because there is nothing that said when it was an egg or a caterpillar or a pupa that you were gonna get this magnificent form. There was nothing that said, by the way, it's gonna be orange, because orange didn't exist in the egg, it didn't exist in the caterpillar, and suddenly now it's orange. Not only that, there were no polka dots before, and now there's this beautiful, gorgeous butterfly that's polka dotted. And the body on the abdomen actually has fur. It's like hairy, right? There was nothing hairy on the caterpillar when it started, and suddenly here it is. It's got hair, it's got antenna. Its tongue is a proboscis, which is a straw, right? None of that existed on the caterpillar, and suddenly it's this beautiful butterfly. The other thing that's amazing about the monarch, so they tried to do a butterfly house at the Hogel Zoo, and they brought in all these butterflies from around the world, right? And they put all these butterflies in the house, and they put the monarch in there. The monarch of North America, there are other butterflies who migrate, but there is only one butterfly that migrates and makes a round trip. That's actually the monarch. That's what this is that the monarch, if it's on the east side of the Rockies, is going down into Mexico. Our little Western monarch, which is where I always relate to Josh and I, we don't really know as much about the Western monarch. It's the exact same butterfly, but it's divided by the Rocky Mountains, right? So somehow the Eastern monarch has gotten blown over here, or the ones that were over here on the east, they got blown over here, and they actually overwinter in California. Some of them make it to Mexico, but most of ours are actually overwintering up here, right? So the thing that was amazing about putting these monarchs in the butterfly house was that they couldn't find them. They couldn't see them in the butterfly house, because the butterfly house had windows at the very top, and the monarchs knew that the thing they needed to do was migrate, to leave, to get on with their life. So they couldn't find the monarchs and nobody could ever see them because they were up in the windows because they needed to go. They had another part of their life to get on with, right? So this is the part where I'm sure, as you guys can hear me talking, that I can relate this to Josh and I and our experiences. There are things you just have to do. There are things that nature says they are what you are. There are things that will compel you to go forward, and maybe they're not easy, and maybe they look like they're painful, and they probably are. I can't imagine that splitting and losing your skin and walking out of your old life is an easy thing to do. I know for me personally, walking into my new life of raising a son who's gay was not an easy thing. And it wasn't because it wasn't me that thought it was easy. It was because everybody else told me it was hard. Everybody else told me it was something I shouldn't be doing. Everybody else told me that, you know, we need to have boxes and everybody needs to get inside of them. And when you know something is true, there's only one thing you can do. And at least that's the way I was raised. When you know something's true, there's only one thing you can do, and that is to go with it. So that was the other piece, is that the light, is that the monarchs are drawn to the light. They also follow the sun. So as we're raising them and releasing them, that's an important part, is that they have to have access to sunlight. They have to know where they're going. They follow the sun. Okay, so I'm gonna start out with Only a Mother Knows, a lesson in being who you are from the very beginning. So this is me and Josh. This is before we moved up here from Austin. The story we wanna share is actually from when I was in high school. I had just graduated from high school, and I was taking care of my grandfather. My grandmother had passed away in March of my senior year, and my grandfather wasn't doing well. He missed her so much. And so we started taking care of him 24/7. So because I had graduated from high school, my family, basically, they hired me to go and stay with him at night. So I would go stay with my grandpa at night. And I loved my grandpa. Loved, loved, loved my grandpa. And he and I were really close. We spent a lot of time together. So one night, though, because I couldn't go anywhere at night and I was taking care of my grandfather, my friends would call me while I was at my grandfather's house. And it was the circle phone, right? So if you called anybody, it was like a real experience. Like, you really wanted to call them because it was a lot of time to dial that number. So this friend of mine, though, I was talking to this friend on the phone. I remember this because it was such a impactful moment, but we were talking about what would be the biggest struggle in raising a family. What would be the biggest struggle of our life in raising a family? And of course, you know, because we're teenagers and we're like, oh, life will be so hard and it's going to be amazing at the same time. We're planning our weddings and it's just, you know, So I remember having this conversation, and to be honest, I don't even know what my friend said was the difficult thing. But I remember for me saying, and it was like the words just came, and because I wouldn't have picked this. It wasn't something that I thought would have been the hardest thing. But the words that came out of my mouth were, if I had to raise a child who was gay, that would be the hardest thing. And in that moment, there was this striking spiritual experience where it said, there was a voice that said, and that is for you. But the important part of that experience was that the voice also said, this child is not broken. Your job is to raise this child and make sure they know that they're loved. The world will tell you there's something wrong, but your job is to raise this child and make sure this child knows that he's loved. Now, I very LDS, haven't gone on my mission yet, haven't gotten married in the temple, and I was like, but very spiritual. And I took that message and I just tucked it in my little LDS heart and said, we'll see about that. Well, who knows? Because I'm not sure I want to have kids even yet, you know? But I was like, we're just going to tuck that away. So when I got pregnant with Josh, I didn't know whether or not Josh was a boy or a girl. I couldn't tell. He had this amazing spirit, and I had these phenomenal experiences with Josh before I ever gave birth to him. I knew exactly who he was. I could feel his spirit. And when they laid him on my tummy, all I could say was, it's you. It's you. Like, I knew him. I just knew him. And from the moment he was born to this very moment, he has been the best thing that's ever happened to me. He's my priority setter. He's my inspiration. He's changed me in ways that only he could have done. But I knew from the time he was little that he was gay. But everybody else kept telling me he's not, right? They kept telling me what box to put him in. They kept telling me, your father's an artist. He's just creative like your dad, right? They kept telling me what box to put him in. And of course, you know, I don't know any better. And I don't know, am I supposed to just say, by the way, have this spiritual experience. You're gay. Like, I don't know how to have this moment with him, because I want him to have his own life. I want him to be proud of it. I want him to be happy with it. I want him to experience it. So the experiences that brought us through all of these moments are the struggles of learning how to just let you be, but the outside world telling you not to be. And I know everybody here in this room understands what I'm talking about, because I don't believe that what your orientation or your attraction is, you will all have something that you have to struggle against. For me, it was the fact that I knew who my son was. And everybody else told me I was wrong. And I mean that from my family, to his teachers, to the administrators, to friends at school. I mean, it was just, you have to go and find those people who know what you're talking about and get you, right? The ones who are on your side. So, Karina, if you'll hit twice, which leads us into being here in Utah. When we moved back up here, fourth grade was good. Third grade in Austin was really rough, but we got out and we moved here and we moved up here. And when Josh was in high school, well, it started actually kind of in middle school, not even kind of. I'm going to skip some of the middle school stuff because I'm sure you all know how hard middle school is without even having to give you some of those details. But it was really rough, and it actually started with the administrators back then, because Josh started being bullied when he was actually in third grade as being gay, which at the time I was like, why are we even having this conversation? He's 3 years old. Like, where is this even coming from, you know? So we get here. It's in sixth, seventh, and eighth, and I'm going toe-to-toe with the administrators, and I'm getting exhausted and frustrated because I can't make it stop. I can't make the administrators make it stop in the school. He's having experiences that are heart-wrenching as a mother, and you're saying to yourself, like, when will this, like, make sense, right? So eventually I end up putting him, the school system tells me, you know, there's a charter school, and the charter schools are better at handling kids on a smaller scale. And they were right, because the schools were less kids, but they had a principal who was amazing at just saying, it's not okay, we don't accept any kind of bullying in the school. And so Josh was really looked out for, just on a large level, because all the kids were looked out for, right? But then the charter schools in our valley ended at ninth grade. And so he spent a year in a charter school system, and it was good, But what it did is it made the victim be the one who was responsible, right? We were the ones that had to fix it, not the school. It was us, right? So since the charter school, and they promised us, they said, you know, we're putting this bullying anti-bully program in place, and we're going to make sure everything's fine. By the time we came back in ninth grade, because Josh wanted to go back, instead of, you know, trying to figure out a different schooling option, he wanted to go back to high school because his cousins were going to be in the school too. So we went back to Mountain Crest. Are you okay if I talk about Mountain Crest a little bit? Okay. We talked about this, and we were trying to stay away from some of the harder stories because it's still very fresh for us. But we got into high school, and Josh decided that he wanted to start a GSA. I don't know what a GSA is, right? I've never heard of it. I don't know what it is, but Josh really wants it. So his sophomore year, he goes to the vice principal and it says, I want to start a GSA at the school. And I'm in the background watching because I'm wanting to see how the school is actually going to work with Josh, how he's going to handle Josh in the school system. The vice principal tells him, you can have a GSA, you just have to get a teacher, you have to have an advisor. Very simple thing, go get an advisor, right? So I started watching Josh going through and trying to get an advisor. And it was your sophomore year, right, Josh? Am I headed down the right path? Okay, just making sure I'm checking my crazy. So he tried to get an advisor, and it was amazing how a teacher would say, yes, I'll be the advisor, and then next day, I can't. Sorry, I'm too busy. He went through six different teachers trying to get an advisor. And each one of them, love it, totally supportive, I'm on your side, I'll be your advisor. Give it 2 or 3 days and they come back and go, no, can't do it. So the end of that school year, there was still no GSA. And then when Josh went into his junior year, he tried again to get a GSA, trying to get advisors, trying to get someone to be the advisor. And again, no advisor. And also hearing in the background, I actually hadn't heard of no promo homo. I didn't really understand what that actually was, right? You hear it because you know it, but you don't know it because you're not living it, right? Until I came to Utah, I started living it. And it's this undercurrent that was so quiet, but this deep rumble across all the teachers and all the administrators, and everybody's literally living afraid. Whether they're an ally or not, they're living afraid in the school system. So a couple of things ended up happening. Josh had an altercation at school where the student was prosecuted, and it gave us an opportunity to go to the school system and say, you're broken. And now I have the proof, because we had to go to court. And they were saying, but no, everything's fine in the school. If everything's fine in your school, tell me how this happened, and how come you won't listen to me? But now, because it was documented and it was in the court system, now it was real. And keep in mind, we've been dealing with three sets of bullies throughout Josh's high school career. So we knew who these kids were. They just weren't getting documented. The school wasn't documenting them. We have that happen. And then we also have this wonderful thing that happens where the law changes and we're not supposed to be discriminated against, right? Like, you're not supposed to have housing or get fired, right? So these kinds of things like came together. The law changes and Josh has this altercation which goes to court. And that kind of combined together for a really interesting experience where suddenly now Cache County School District wants to talk to us. Now they want to hear us. Now they want to listen to us because we have court documentation, laws have changed, and people are now saying, oh, oops, maybe I was an ally and I've done the wrong thing. Or, oh, maybe I'm actually discriminating and I'm not actually paying attention to the fact that I'm doing it in the school system to children, right? So what I ended up doing is I went to the school and I went by myself and I met with the principal, the vice principal, the counselor, the police officer, and they said, we really want Josh to come back to school here. We want to show him that we can do this right. And I was like, you know, at this point, prove it. Because I've beat down your doors for years trying to get you to listen, trying to get you to understand how safe these kids are not in your school. And they said, well, we have this sticker in the window that says MC Safe. Says MC Safe. And I'm like, that the sticker right here, do you think that means anything to a kid who's already compromised in your school system? A kid who's already being bullied? So suddenly, like, the windows and the doors and the lights start turning on for them that they realize. I said, where's your rainbow? Where's your rainbow in the school? You're a counselor. You have kids that are gay. Where's your rainbow in your office? Show me that, and then tell me that you're actually a part of this, that you're on my side. Because until they see a rainbow, I'm going to tell you right now, none of these kids are going to recognize you. They're not going to know you're an ally. They're not going to know that you believe them, that you're on their side. Because at this point, you have nothing that says visually they can come and talk to you and that you're trustworthy, right? And part of this that was the hardest part was that one of the counselors is actually part of the LGBTQ community, right? But so afraid, and this is the parts where I had to learn too, is learning what it really means to be part of the community, right? To understand what life has done to us. And I mean us because I feel like it happened to me too, right along with Josh, as I was going through these experiences, that being raised LDS and told that I couldn't support my friends, that I was shaming everybody and myself in this experience. So the most beautiful thing happens is that instead of Josh being the one who goes out and finds a counselor, is I said to them, look, I watched you not help Josh find an advisor for the GSA. So at this point, I don't believe that you're going to help him. I don't believe you're on his side. I've watched you. I've watched teachers turn him down. I've seen everything that can happen. I don't believe you. And the vice principal actually went into a staff meeting and said, look, we want this GSA here. I can't force someone to become the advisor. We really want this to be here, but I need somebody who's going to volunteer for it. Because what I told them was, I feel like you just threw my son to the wolves. You said, go find a teacher. He wasn't out, but you just threw him into it and said, good luck, go find someone, right? You just made it him the one that had to go fix this for you. So hearing me as a, which, you know, I'm sure everybody knows the term mama bear, I have become that. I've said the F-bomb in more hallowed halls than I care to admit. But when you love your child and you love their friends and you watch your kid and you watch his friends and you watch suddenly over your lifetime realize what has been happening while you've been watching. And if you can't get in the fray, you have not lived your life the way you were supposed to. And so I was in the fray and I wish I had all the answers. I wish I knew the words to say. But the only thing I could say was that this is my kid and he's not safe in your school. And I realized that those were the words. My child's not safe in your school. And that is actually what matters to the administrators, the teachers, the students. That's what matters. My child is not safe in your school. Make him safe or, she was like, everybody's like, just sue them, do all this. I'm like, I actually need it from a heart level. I need things to change in a different direction. And anyway, so she went in and she said, we want to find a GSA advisor. And one of the teachers said, this is stupid. I will do this. I had no idea that we were trying to find, I will do this, right? So because then, of course, all clubs have to go before the Cache County School Board and have to request to become a club. And they have to present why they want to be a club. So my three little brave students, they go before the Cache County School Board. And I wish that you could have been there to hear them request approval for a gay-straight alliance. Because it was like a pin dropped. It was so quiet. And they went, did they say gay-straight alliance? Did anybody else hear that? I'm pretty sure they said gay-straight alliance. Did anybody else hear that? And so, and I was sitting there in the middle just watching all these adults going, what do we do? They want a gay-straight alliance. And you could see, like, the school board, like, panic, like, And then, of course, we have this, you know, one of the girls who just loved, she kept saying gay and queer. Gay and queer, we need this for the gay, queer students. We need this for our straight friends who have parents and aunts. And, you know, it was a brilliant moment. So the school board, which I didn't know, they actually, by law, must approve all clubs. So even though we were panicked, but we did things that other clubs didn't do. We wrote a letter to the school board and explained to them why the GSA was important. And then they went back and they met with the school board to try and say, hey, do you have questions? Talk to us, engage us. And of course, at that time, the school board president, actually, he said to Josh and to these other three students, are you sure that the name is a good idea? Because we don't want to offend anyone. And of course, the mama bear inside of me was like, I can seriously do damage at this moment. But I was very calm, and I turned to the kids, and I said, what would you say to that? And they all went, Josh was like, I don't find anything offensive about gay or straight and being in an alliance. Very calm. There's nothing offensive about this. So, and of course, he's like, well, you should just think about it, right? Well, we had this. We had already gone down to a GSA symposium that the Pride Center had done. So they had already armed us with everything. We'd met with the ACLU. We talked to other GSAs. We had teachers. We had such great information about what it meant to have a GSA in our little valley. And so he kept pressing and saying, well, we just don't want to offend anybody. So eventually, I just put my hand on his arm and I said, you realize that they are well within their right to be called a gay-straight alliance. The law supports them. They are a gay-straight alliance. And he just went, well, just think about it. So of course, we spent the next 20 minutes driving home, like having this big conversation about, what name could it be? You know, like, we are not changing it. These kids were determined that it was gonna be called a gay-straight alliance. So the school board approves it, and we get a gay-straight alliance, which we're super proud of. Josh put a lot of heart and soul. He was really bleeding edge. He's had to say a lot, be a lot. He's dealt with teachers who wanted to sweep gay under the rug and not talk about it. He's had to deal with students who magically can shove you into walls and just disappear. He's dealt with so many things that other kids are also dealing with, and having to be just not just the student, but the friend who's trying to help other friends deal with what they're going through, right? Friends who are on the verge of being kicked out, right? Who are starting to couch surf because their parents, yet again, don't want a gay kid in their home, right? And being a mom in this experience has been very lonely, because in our valley, it was very hard to find anybody that I could talk to. That's how I found, you know, people like the Mama Dragons or allies through other, you know, I can't say that I became best friends with the Mama Dragons, I'll be honest. I really love them, but I had teenagers, and most of the Mama Dragons, their kids are in college, so I couldn't relate to them. And we were very, you know, headed down the path of some very trying times in the high schools. And then also because our students, I mean, they're adorable. Look how cute these kids are. And there are very few parents who know their kids are out, right? But these kids all were willing to walk and be a part of the very first GSA homecoming parade at Mountain Crest High School. Yeah, right? So these kids, you know, and of course they make these banners and the posters. This is actually Josh's car with the big rainbow flag over it, right? I'm the one who's driving it. And this moment of taking this picture, like, the thing that surprised me is when we got done with the parade, we had parents that were coming up to us and saying, how was it? Were you guys okay? I'm like, what do you mean? And of course, because I'm always afraid for these guys because I know what they're up against every day. But I'm like, if you knew that something bad could go, why didn't you come and talk to us? You know, or why weren't you walking with us? You know, like, but they were really aware of what these kids were going to be doing walking down the street. And the one of the experiences of walking down the street and driving the car behind them is that one of my friends from high school happened to be on the side of the road. And you can't see it here, but in the front of the car, they have painted GSA, Gay Straight Alliance. Like, you cannot miss it. It says Gay Straight Alliance across the front. And these kids, as they're walking and everybody's like, where's the, like, nobody, like, they're trying to figure out this, what, rainbows, and why are these kids, like, I don't, you know, they're trying to figure it out. And then they see Gay Straight Alliance across the front of the car, and they're like, like, you can see everybody going, like, what's going on at Mountain Crest, right? But one of my friends is here on the side of the road, and I see her say, is that a Gay Straight Alliance? And she immediately, like, turns to do this, like, I can't believe this. And I see her, and I call her name out, because I see what she's doing. And I go, hey, how are you doing? And, you know, and I call her name, and she's like, she starts putting, like, and I go, that's my son, right up there. That's my son. And she's like, oh, you know, she's like, oh, okay, like, this is cool, you know, like, I can see her, but, like, trying to be out and in front and saying, I'm a part of this, right? That's my kid, and I'm proud of him. And you better either get online and get on board and figure out how to be a part of this, but if you're going to be another parent who's going to discriminate against my kid, guess what? I'm not okay with that. And I need you to know I'm not okay with that, right? So after this GSA Pride, there are two girls that are in here, and their parents come to the after to pick up their kids. And I have a conversation with them, and I say, please, go to the administrator, go to Cache County, tell them that you are fully in support of your kids being gay and out at Mountain Crest. They need to know we exist. Because right now, the only things they think exist are these kids. That's all they think exists. They don't know that there's anybody behind them. They don't know there's parents who care. There's none of that. Please go have this conversation with them. So they're like, yep, totally, we'll go do that. So trying to broaden our community, trying to broaden even, like, our kids, there's, you know, like, right here, there's a sign that says, it's okay to be straight or queer. because there's a lot of kids in the GSA, right, who have parents who are gay, aunts, uncles, family, doesn't matter, brothers, sisters, they're all a part of this. And they just want to have friends too that are like, yeah, we get it. We know where you're coming from because right now it's hard, right? But then this one right here says gay like never before. That was their senior motto. That was Josh's senior motto. And they went around and made a poster that said gay like never before, and the school freaked out, took the poster down. And in fact, the teacher that took it down went into the office, and of course they won't tell you who it is. But they go in and they say, do we even have this club at this school? And we're like, so it's just, you know, good conversations, but really hard for these kids, right? Because they don't actually know what's going on. And it turned out that the vice principal, the year after Josh's junior year, she asked me to come and speak at a symposium with her and the other counselor. And she was talking about how every day when this GSA started, she either had a student, a teacher, an administrator, or a parent in her office protesting GSA signs every day. And it was across the board, right? But this administrator was amazing because I never knew that. I knew some of it, but I didn't know all of it. And every day, these kids were walking down the hallway being proud, right? They're doing their ally day, and they're making rainbow pins, and they're having people be on their side. But guess what? We have to have adults there to protect them, to make sure that they don't have the kind of verbiage or wording that they're having in general conversation, right? So no matter what these kids did, as a parent and as an administrator, I had to make sure that somebody was there with them, right? They couldn't just walk in this parade by themselves. I had to drive the car, and they had administrators who rode on a bicycle with them and kept an eye on them, right? Because these kids need us as adults. They can't just do this by themselves. And that was the thing I learned, which was the hardest lesson, was the fact that as a parent, I watched Josh try to get this GSA going because I thought people were on his side, and I was wrong. It turned out even that there had been church leaders who said, you can't do that, told them that they can't be an advisor, right? And they went to their church to say, hey, what do you think? And the church said, it's not a good idea. It will harm your career. It will harm you in the community. Yeah, well, who knows, right? You know, so there were all these experiences, which is the part where I said, you threw my son to the wolves then. You let him go find an advisor, but you didn't tell him that there were no allies on his side or that the people he was choosing wouldn't have the courage or the ability to do something like this. And yet he's out there every day suffering in the school. I mean, that's not to say every day is a bad day, but he was, had experiences that were rough and tough. And as a parent, you watch him go into school and you think, please God, let today be a good day. Let nothing happen, you know? And for the most part, the thing that ended up happening was that Josh's senior year, I watched him grow into this young man who was done taking it, who was done hearing gay or fag or queer against anybody in the school, regardless of who it was said to, he was done with it, right? So the school itself had to now deal with the fact that they had created an amazing little monster, an amazing little, like, say gay to me one more time. Say fag to me one more time. Go ahead, right? And I'd just be going, we're going to end. When he was little and stuff started happening, I was like, go ahead, beat him up. I'll be in the office cheering you on. Go ahead. I will be right there with him saying, you deserved it because you had an opportunity to fix this and you didn't, right? So the GSA at Mountain Crest was a huge accomplishment for us, but it didn't stop there, right? Because then what happens is you get to know all these kids. You get to know these kids who are suffering on a very personal level that nobody knows they're at the GSA. Their parents think they're in math, getting tutored. Or teachers who say, well, they're in this GSA, let's make a list of all the kids so we can get an agenda and we can make sure we know who all the kids are. Do you know what that will do to these kids if the list gets out? Right? We did our very first Pride in Logan last year. The GSAs went and they did a fundraiser and they were all together. They did Logan High has a GSA. It's in our district. But Mountain Crest did a GSA. One of the girls that Herald Journal interviewed, she wasn't out to her family. Nobody knew she'd been interviewed. Nobody knew they talked to her. She got outed in the Herald Journal in the newspaper, right? Like, because nobody knew. Nobody thought to protect these kids. And this is the part where, as a mom, I've had to realize how much you have to get involved. If you know kids that are in school or if you're in a school district, it is so important that they know who we are as allies, as parents, as family, and that we are saying to them, I know these kids, and you better protect them. because they deserve safety. They deserve safety on a level that your other kids have no idea what these kids are going to go through. Because these kids couch surf. These kids don't have homes. These kids do go through homelessness. And I have one of them right now. I have, you know, we have another friend of Josh's that, you know, she just couldn't conform. And so it was either conform or get out. And so now she's with us, right? Which is great, except for now you have to figure out how to, I only had one kid. I don't know how to balance two. I'm figuring it out. But she's amazing, and she deserves the ability to have her life and not be afraid because, you know, she won't fit into some little box, right? Okay, so that's kind of my story about a GSA, and I turn into a mama bear. Josh becomes this amazing little monster of, say that to me one more time, right? You get a little scared that your kid could actually be the kid that's like clobbering over desks to like beat the crap out of someone, right? But at the same time, as a mom, I have to admit there's a moment of pride where you go, I hope he does it. I really hope he does it, right? I really hope he does it. And I hope, you know, I can't wait to see who comes out on top, because I know who it's going to be, and it's going to be my kid. I just know it, right? Okay, next, please. This is the amazing part. He graduated from high school. Yay. We're out of high school. And this is my lesson in life getting better. When Josh was putting on his graduation robes and getting dressed to go, one of the things he's really good at is makeup. He's really good at it. And he's like, I have to learn terms like my face is beat. I don't even know if that's right. Is that right? My face is beat, right? I had to learn all this stuff. He's like, have you seen this? Like, you know, I have no idea. I'm learning all this stuff. This is the moment where your 25 now becomes 26. Yeah, I became 26, right? I know, right? But this picture I absolutely love because he's so happy. He's colored his hair. Well, okay, he bleached it actually. But he's got this dark lipstick on. He's done his makeup. He's at his graduation, right? He wasn't going to do his makeup for graduation. And I was like, but Bug, like, that's his nickname, Bug. I'm like, Bug, this is graduation. Go do this. This is your moment. Like, end it this way. Have it be this way. Be who you are. So to see this at the end where he goes, I got this meat face. Yeah, I got this. Yeah. And then you can't see it, but he also took the back of his cap and it's covered in rainbows. He's got little rainbows all over his cap, right? So for me, this is the fact that life will get better. Life does get better every day. Even the fact that the GSA happened was a huge thing for us. You know, being willing to get into the fray and talking about things like going to teachers. And so that I would do this every time. I'd be in there with the teachers and I would say, how do you handle the gay topic in school? And they go, and one teacher, I love her. Josh loved her with his health class. I gotta tell this story. Are you gonna tell it? And so we're sitting there and I go, so how do you handle the gay topic? And she's the health teacher, which is where no promo homo fits, right? That's actually where the law is at. She goes, you know I can't talk about it, right? And I go, okay. And she goes, you know why, right? And I go, no promo homo. And she goes, I just want to get to 30 years and retire without getting fired. That's the kind of fear that our teachers live under. That's the kind of fear administrators live under. Thank God, no promo homo was banned, right? Ended, done. End of the year. It was actually my birthday in March when we got the official news that no promo homo had been banned from Utah Code. Huge deal for us. But the funny thing is that these kids, you know, they're out doing their thing every day. When the LDS Church put out their proclamation that things had changed, their revelation, and then, you know, I was sending a message to Josh saying, hey, can you gather up your GSA kids, just make sure everybody's okay, just check on everybody together. He didn't even know that it had happened because he and his friends were out with ally cards going door to door at school saying, do you want an ally card in your classroom? Do you want an ally card in your classroom? Like, had no idea what the outside world was doing. He was just finding out who his allies were, getting the teachers to be proud as well. Some teachers saying, totally, put it on the wall. Others saying, I got to go talk to the principal first, right? That kind of a thing. The fact is that now we've had so many lessons in who your allies are, finding who your allies are, about community and strength, about gathering together and holding hands and saying the truth, saying things out loud to administrators and teachers and other students that they haven't been saying, like it's actually not okay the way that you're behaving. It's not okay for you to treat my child like that. It's not okay for you to treat any child like that. Getting out there and in front and knowing that you hope you're not putting yourself in a dangerous situation like we've seen so many of our community be put in front of and harmed physically. And we live in Little Cache Valley. You hope that the Christian side of them pulls in and they don't do anything bad, but you never know, right? Every day living under that kind of a pressure and a fear. But at the end of the day, getting to take a picture like that, say we did it, we got through it, we finished it, it's all worth it. You go to the next slide, please. Okay, so I have a couple of butterfly things here because in Josh's life, I feel like he's gone through so many different phases. I can't say that he's necessarily a butterfly yet. He might be. He's going on 18 the end of the month. It's possible he could, you know, turn into this fabulous butterfly. I still think he's pretty fabulous as it is. Whether he's a butterfly or a caterpillar, I don't really care. I just absolutely adore him. So I'm going to just say he's wonderful. When do we become a butterfly? When it's time. You never know whether you're an egg, whether you're a caterpillar, whether you're a pupa. I think you actually know that kind of stuff. When you're about to step out of something really hard and you're going to come into something new and you're actually going to allow your skin to be what it already is on the inside, right? But until then, I say go with it. Feel it. Be who you are on the inside and let it be what you are on the outside. I say fight for it. I say fight for it and I say hold hands with people who will fight with you. Who will say to you, hey, do you want me to come with you to the school board? Who will say to you, do you want me to sit outside the classroom with a baseball bat? Find those people and pull them in and hold hands with them because you are going to need them. I say live for it. Because there were times where we were really sure how this was going to turn out. But it was worth it to live for it because I want to see Josh's life. I want to stick around and I want to see it and I want him to stick around and I want to see what his life turns into. And I say love for it. Josh started dating after he went to queer prom. We used to take our kids down to Salt Lake to queer prom every year. And it was so much fun. And as a parent, I went and I was the only straight parent who was there chaperoning. There are people from the community, the gay community, who were there, but there were no parents who were there to see what their kids were experiencing. And it is such a cool event, such an amazing event. I was like, where are you parents? Like, get here. Come and see what these guys are doing. Like, last year, they had where you could get your hair and makeup done, and you could, like, glitter. I left covered in glitter, like, sprayed in glitter. I had no idea they had that much glitter. Then they have, like, places where you can have, like, Planned Parenthood and people who come to tell you what companies are willing to hire students who are on the queer spectrum, right? Who are on your side. And if you're not a parent who's going to this event, you will never know that this is what your kids are experiencing. That's what they're being taught. That's what they're being told. As a parent, I'm like, get there. And so we took another, you know, parent with us who, you know, her child was in the GSA and went with us. And you get to see these moments and it's like, get involved. Like, go see what your kids are being taught. Because if you don't know, you don't know. And they deserve to know. The biggest problem for me was that Josh, every time we signed that health code class, it calls out no promo homo. You had to sign off on it that they would not promote or advocate for your son or daughter in a health class. No promo homos on the form. And I would circle it and write around it and say, that's my son you're not going to advocate for. You're not going to teach him the same kinds of things that he deserves to know because he's gay. And that's the kind of stuff that no promo homo takes down, right? It takes it off that form. But as a parent, if your child is gay and in the school, or if you're a child whose parents or kids or friends or family, they're running into that too, and they're being shamed in the school system on paper because they got to hand that paper to somebody that they have to sign off for and say, that's what I'm going to do, right? So being able to love for it and being able to date and see Josh go to his first queer prom to get his first boyfriend. I was the mom. My dad was the kind of guy that when you went on your first date with someone, he answered the door with a shotgun. And he said, are your intentions honorable with my daughter? So when Josh started dating, hell yeah, I am that mom. I answer the door with a shotgun, and I say, are your intentions honorable with my son? And I love it. It's so much fun. Like, it's a part of life that everybody should experience, right? Should be exactly the way that it happens. So love for it. I want him to fall in love, and, you know, he's dating, and it's fun to watch, to see, be a normal part of his life, right? So all of these things I say because be true to who you are, because it is worth it. At the end of the day, it is worth it. And you have people that are on your side who absolutely love you and adore you as you are. So Karina, there's just a couple of slides. I have a couple of thoughts here just on butterfly sides. Perhaps the butterfly is proof that you can go through a great deal of darkness and yet become something beautiful. When she transformed into a butterfly, the caterpillars spoke not of her beauty, but of her weirdness. They wanted her to change back into what she had always been, but she had wings. And the last one, what if I fall? Oh, but my darling, what if you fly? My belief is that we are all flying. We are all determined to fly. It is all a part of who we are. It is inside us. Whether or not we're feeling it yet, those wings are there. It is my hope and my prayer that each of us can walk out of here today going, I got wings.
Hi. Can you go to the next one? So the first one I'd want to talk about is living outrageously. Because the one thing I learned to do in school is just to be like, if they're going to pull you down for being yourself, then why not just be like super extra about it and be like, you know what? If you want to make fun of me for wearing like just lipstick, girl, I'm going to wear a skirt. I'm going to wear this thing. I'm going to wear eyeliner. I'm going to wear everything. Full face. Beautiful. Flawless. And just go full out. And then if they want to say that like you're a faggot, then like, hey, I'm going to be really good at being a faggot. Like I'm going to be amazing. And if they're walking down the hall and they're like, you know, that kid's really gay, I'm going to link arms with my girlfriend and I'm going to be like, you know how gay I am? I really want to kiss a boy. I really want to date a boy. I love boys. Boys. I'm so gay for boys. Love them. And they would like walk down and they'd be like, wait, is he really doing that? Is he really talking about that? Like, yeah, honey. Mm-hmm. Are you volunteering to be my next boyfriend? Because you're not that cute, but I'll try it. So another thing I want to talk about is learning to love yourself, because it's not like something that you just wake up and you're like, hey, today I love myself. Like it's an everyday thing where you have to look in the mirror and be like, yeah, I actually do love this. This is something that I love. I love myself. I love who I am. I love what I am. I love what I stand for. And a lot of the times we like to say that our community is really together, but we have to bring it more together, because there's like people that are still in our community that are like, well, someone is blank and I don't really like that. I don't really understand it. So I don't really love them, but we need to come together to be like, yes, I love my entire community for what everyone is, instead of just being like, yeah, I love just myself. And then another one that I want to talk about is the best revenge is living your life and letting them see you live your life, because the more they see you being outrageously happy and covered in glitter and wearing a dress, they're going to be like, what? But you're going to be like, yes, girl, I am looking beautiful. I'm looking flawless. And that's honestly my favorite thing about high school, was just being like, yes, I am looking amazing and you are not. So sorry about that. But that's my revenge on you. And then I think the last thing I want to talk about is Kesha. One of her newest songs is called Praying. And there's a line that says, I can thank you for how strong I have become. And it's really helped me heal over the past, I don't know how, probably like the past month that I've been listening to it. Because at the time it was like, well, this is not going to make me stronger. This is just making me a victim. This is making me something like, this happened to me. And now I'm realizing, no, girl, you got way stronger from everything that happened to you, just because you got through it and you were able to come through it out. You were able to come out stronger. I don't know. I like this song. It's really helped me, and if you guys want to listen to it, it's really good. So I think that's all I have to say. I wish I could. Actually, well, I mean, I could play it on my phone, but I don't have any service, so sorry. But thank you for letting me come talk today. I really enjoyed listening to my mom talk. Yeah, thank you.